morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David. This week, I'm looking at questions that no Christian can answer. Well, at least according to a group of atheists that have submitted these questions in social media, saying, you know, no one can answer this question that is a Christian. We looked at two yesterday, and I'm kind of looking at the second part of that second question today. And the person was basically saying that how can anyone follow the Bible as a moral guide when it seems like it's such a bad moral guide? It never condemns rape. It never condemns slavery. It tells someone who is raped they have to marry their attacker. How could anyone follow such a terrible guide for morality? And I present this question not because I feel like I have to respond to this one person, but because I have heard many people kind of say this, that the Bible is full of terrible moral instruction, and therefore we shouldn't follow it. And it's just not true. And so I think it deserves to be addressed. So let's talk about first rape. Deuteronomy 22, verse 25 says, "But if out in the country a man happens to meet a young woman pledged to be married and rapes her, only the man who has done this shall die." In other words, in the Old Testament, in Israel's civil law, the death penalty was mandated for rape. So to say that the Bible doesn't say that there's anything wrong with that is just mistaken. You're just not looking at the Bible. Of course, the Bible gives us a reason for morality. As I said last time, that if there's no God, there's no purpose to the world. There's no point to it. There's no reason for it. And there's no objective moral standard. There's no reason to say that rape is wrong if atheists are right and there is no God and we're just all here by chance. Everyone can just make it up as they go along. Whatever they want to believe or think or do, there's no real objective standard or reason for there to be one. So the Bible gives us a grounding of how we can know things or that things really are right and wrong. I think we just all know things are right or wrong. But the Bible gives a satisfactory explanation as to why that is. It's because God has put that in our hearts. Atheists have no reason for understanding why we just know that there is a right and wrong. It shouldn't be there if atheism is true. So the Bible gives us grounding for moral principles, moral teaching. But not only that, the Bible tells us that God is a good God, a loving God who seeks to bless his creation. And we are to be like him. We are to love one another. We are to love your neighbor as yourself. And so, of course, attacking a woman is in that way is wrong. The Bible is just full of teaching about how that is wrong. It's embarrassing that someone doesn't even know that who's making a claim like this against the Bible. So that's the first part. What about slavery? Slavery gets a little more complicated. People say, you know, well, the Bible seems like it's okay with slavery. The view that the average American has of what slavery is completely condemned in the Bible. I say that without hesitation. I'm going to read you some verses. Now, is there a form of slavery that is unknown to us in the modern Western world that is a basic way of managing labor in the ancient world? Yes, and that the Bible does not condemn that. So, for instance, Jacob, he fled from his home because his brother was going to kill him. He went to his cousin's house, and he agreed to work there, and he, you know, saw this young woman, Rachel, and he wants to marry her, and he says, "I will work for you for 7 years in exchange for your daughter. I don't have the normal price to pay, the bridal price, but I'll work for you 7 years." Of course, during that 7 years that he's working for Laban has to provide for his food. He's going to allow Jacob to keep some of the sheep that he's working for. Jacob's able to accumulate wealth while he's working for Laban. By the end of his time, you know, he's got a good amount of wealth. He's been well fed, taken care of, had shelter, and he's presented with his wife. And so that's an arrangement he agreed to. It came to an end. And in a sense, he was slave labor for that 7 years. But that's just the way that labor was managed. You know, today you work for an employer, you're expected to be there certain hours of each day. You have freedom to move from one job to the other. Slavery, in the ancient world, you didn't have freedom to move so easily, you know, from one job to another. But a lot of the same ideas were in place as to what we have in our economy today, as far as working for a boss who you've, you know, signed a contract with. But what we think of when we think of slavery, which is maybe, you know, maybe you think of Roots and Kunta Kinte, and, you know, he's taken from Africa and he's forced to work and he's trying to escape, and, you know, his you know, all kinds of terrible things happen to him, and he's treated brutally. And, you know, that's not something the Bible says is okay. It's just not. Listen again to what the Bible actually says. Exodus 21, verse 16 says, anyone who kidnaps someone is to be put to death. So slave trading, the Bible's very clear. There is a death penalty in the civil system in Israel. Secondly, there is no place for racism in the Bible. The Bible says we're created in the image of God. We are all descended from Adam and Eve. We are all descended from Noah. And so we all have a common parent. And so we are all equal. We're all equally made in God's image. And so a slavery system based on race is contrary to what God is teaching us about who we are. Now, in atheism, you can't say that. In atheism, you don't know who came from where. And it's perfectly plausible that different races have evolved to different levels and different states, and that some are inherently superior to others. You can't say that they're all made in the image of God. You don't believe in God. You can't say that they're all descended from the same ancestor. You don't believe that. You believe that they've maybe evolved independently, separately from each other over periods of time. And so some can be superior to others. And this has been the basis, this evolutionary theory has been the basis of racist teaching, throughout the past 150 or more years. But the Bible says, again, love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible gives strict penalties for mistreatment of slaves and workers. And you know, the Bible also sets up a system where you're freed on the seventh year. In Israel, if you agree to work, you can't. You're freed after the seventh year. It's not a lifelong system where the owner can do whatever he wants. No, there's a lot of restrictions on the owner. It's not racially based. Kidnappers are put to death. Okay, so the Bible has a lot to say about this issue. And that the kind of slavery we usually think of is wrong. So the Bible is a good moral guide. The Bible is God's word for us. The Bible tells us what our purpose is, why we're here, why God lovingly created us, and that we are ultimately fulfilled when we love God. And we love God by loving others the way God loves others. And so there's all kinds of instruction in the Bible about how to think about others and how to help others. Outside of the Bible or in the system of atheism, you don't have any basis for that. So this question is supposedly unanswerable, but, you know, I could go on and on. I'm going to move on now. That one's very easy to answer. Let me talk about a little more complicated question I'll introduce today, and then we'll get into it more tomorrow. What are your reasons for not being a Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, or another faith? How can you claim that your religion is superior? Another way, this another person asks almost the same question. They say, why is it that the believers in every other religion in history were wrong despite having the same amount of conviction you do about yours? Yet somehow the one religion you happen to be born into is the correct one. All right, there are all kinds of variations of this question. This is supposedly unanswerable. I'm going to answer it tomorrow. How is it that you believe Christianity is true, but someone else believes Hinduism is true, and someone else believes Buddhism is true, and yet somehow you think you're right? Like, how would you know something like that? Well, that's a great question. That's a lot of what this program is about. I try week in and week out to explain why you know that the Bible is true, to grow your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. And the reason, you know, we look at evidence, we use reason, we look at the where things point, and only one can be true. But I'll develop that tomorrow. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.